Welcome to the OCR GCSE Art and Design Study Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to know about documentary photography for your OCR GCSE. Whether you're building your portfolio right now or getting ready for your externally set task, this episode is packed with the insights, exam tips, and recall practice that will help you hit the top mark bands. So grab a notebook, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. What actually is documentary photography? At its heart, it's photography with a purpose beyond aesthetics. It's about capturing truth, telling stories, and bearing witness to the world as it is, not as we'd like it to be. The best documentary photographers don't just point a camera at something interesting. They make deliberate, considered choices about what to include, how to frame it, and when to press the shutter, all in service of a specific narrative or social message. For your OCR GCSE, documentary photography sits within the broader art and design qualification, and it's assessed across four equally weighted assessment objectives, AO1, AO2, AO3, and AO4, each worth 25% of your marks. Understanding what each one demands is the foundation of a strong portfolio. AO1 is about developing your ideas through contextual and cultural research. This means investigating the work of established documentary photographers, understanding the social and historical context they were working in, and, crucially, using that research to directly inform your own creative decisions. Examiners award marks here not for biography, but for genuine critical engagement. Don't just tell me that Dorothea Lange photographed the Great Depression. Tell me how her use of close framing and direct eye contact with her subjects created an intimacy that demanded empathy from the viewer, and then show me how you've applied that same principle to your own work. AO2 is where you demonstrate experimentation and refinement. This is your contact sheets, your test prints, your annotation of why you rejected certain images and selected others. Examiners want to see a rigorous selection process, evidence that you're thinking critically about your own work. A common mistake candidates make is presenting only their best final images without showing the journey. That caps your marks immediately. Show the messy middle. Show the images that didn't work and explain why. AO3 is technical skills and recording. In documentary photography, this means demonstrating intentional control of your camera settings. Shutter speed, aperture, ISO, depth of field, these must be manipulated purposefully to support your narrative intent. If you're photographing a busy market and you use a slow shutter speed to create motion blur, that's a valid technical choice, but only if you've annotated why that blur serves your story. Examiners will not credit accidental effects that are retrospectively labeled as stylistic choices. And AO4 is your personal response and resolution, your final outcome. For documentary photography, this means presenting a coherent series of images that communicates a clear visual narrative. The sequencing of your images matters enormously here. Think about how a film director uses the order of shots to build meaning. Your final portfolio should have a narrative arc, a beginning, a middle, and an end, and the juxtaposition between images should be intentional and meaningful. Now, let's talk about the key practitioners you absolutely need to know for this topic. Henri Cartier-Bresson is the godfather of documentary photography. A French photographer working primarily in the mid-20th century, he coined the phrase, the decisive moment. The idea that there is one perfect instant in which all the formal elements of a photograph align to create maximum meaning. His images are technically precise, compositionally elegant, and emotionally resonant. For your AO1 research, don't just describe his images. Analyze his use of geometry, his placement of figures within architectural space, and how his Leica camera allowed him to work quickly and unobtrusively. Dorothea Lange worked for the Farm Security Administration in America during the 1930s, documenting the poverty and displacement caused by the Great Depression. Her most famous image, Migrant Mother, is a masterclass in how photographic framing can generate empathy. Notice how Lange positioned herself close to her subject, how the children's faces are turned away, protecting their mother's dignity while amplifying her vulnerability. Lange's work is essential for understanding how documentary photography can function as social advocacy. Martin Parr is a contemporary British photographer and member of Magnum Photos. His work documents British and global consumer culture with a sharp, often satirical eye. His use of vivid color, flash photography in daylight, and extreme close-ups creates images that are simultaneously funny and deeply uncomfortable. Parr is excellent for exploring how documentary photography can employ irony and visual exaggeration to make a point, and he's a great counterpoint to the more austere black and white tradition of Cartier-Bresson and Lange. Other practitioners worth researching include Sebastián Salgado, whose large-format black-and-white images document global labor and migration with extraordinary formal beauty; Don McCullen, the British war photographer whose images from Vietnam and Biafra raise profound ethical questions about the photographer's role; and Diane Arbus, whose intimate portraits of marginalized communities challenge conventional ideas of beauty and normality. Now, let's talk technical vocabulary. These are the terms you must use fluently in your annotations and any written responses. The decisive moment, Cartier-Bresson's concept of the perfect instant when form, content, and emotion converge. Depth of field, the range of distance in an image that appears acceptably sharp. A shallow depth of field achieved with a wide aperture like f/1.8 isolates a subject from its background. A deep depth of field achieved with a narrow aperture like f/11 keeps everything in focus, useful when context and environment are part of the story. Shutter speed controls motion, fast speeds freeze action, slow speeds create blur. ISO determines sensor sensitivity. Higher ISO allows shooting in low light, but introduces grain or noise, which can itself become an expressive tool in documentary work. Composition devices, rule of thirds, leading lines, framing within a frame, negative space. These are the visual grammar of photography, and using them intentionally is what separates a snapshot from a considered documentary image. Contact sheet, a printed or digital grid of all images from a shoot used to review and select. This is your AO2 evidence. Annotate it, circle the rejects and explain why. Highlight your selects and explain what makes them work. Narrative sequencing, the deliberate ordering of images to create meaning through juxtaposition and progression. Visual language, the sum of all formal choices, composition, light, tone, subject, that communicate meaning without words. Now for exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Mistake number one, presenting final edits without contact sheets. This is the single biggest mark killer in AO2. Your contact sheets are not just a record of what you shot. They are evidence of your critical thinking. Without them, examiners cannot award marks for your selection and refinement process. Mistake number two, pastiche without understanding. Lots of candidates see a photographer they like, say Cartier-Bresson's high contrast black and white, and they replicate the aesthetic without engaging with the concept. High contrast black and white is not a style choice in isolation. For Cartier-Bresson, it was about stripping away distraction to focus on form and geometry. If you're going to use it, explain why it serves your specific documentary subject. Mistake number three, weak technical control that is retroactively justified. If your images are blurry, overexposed, or poorly composed, saying, "I chose this for artistic effect," without prior annotation to support that claim, will not earn marks. Technical decisions must be evidenced before the fact, not explained away after. Exam tip number one, always link your technical choices to your narrative intent in your annotations. Don't just write, "I used f/2.8. Write, "I selected an aperture of f/2.8 to create a shallow depth of field, isolating my subject from the busy market background and directing the viewer's attention to the expression on her face, which communicates the exhaustion and resilience central to my documentary theme." Exam tip number two, revisit your location. The best documentary photographers return to the same place multiple times. Different times of day bring different light, different behaviors, different stories. Demonstrating this in your portfolio is powerful AO2 evidence of refinement. Exam tip number three, curate your final series as a narrative arc. Think about your opening image. What does it establish? Think about your closing image. What does it resolve or leave open? The sequencing of your final portfolio is as important as the quality of individual images for AO4. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions. Pause the podcast and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question one, what does AO2 assess and what is the most common mistake candidates make that caps their marks? Answer, AO2 assesses experimentation and refinement. The most common mistake is presenting final images without contact sheets or evidence of the selection process. Question two, what is the decisive moment and who coined the term? Answer, the decisive moment is the concept that there is one perfect instant when all formal elements of a photograph converge to create maximum meaning. It was coined by Henri Cartier-Bresson. Question three. Name two camera settings that control depth of field and explain the effect of each. Answer. Aperture controls depth of field. A wide aperture, like f1.8, creates shallow depth of field, isolating the subject. A narrow aperture, like f11, creates deep depth of field, keeping everything sharp. Shutter speed does not directly control depth of field, but ISO affects exposure alongside aperture. Question 4. What is the difference between a pastiche response and a genuinely contextually informed one? Answer. A pastiche response copies the aesthetic of a photographer without understanding the conceptual or social intent behind it. A contextually informed response analyses the photographer's visual language, understands why they made those choices, and applies those principles, not just the surface style, to the candidate's own work. Question 5. What should your final documentary series demonstrate for AO4? Answer. A coherent visual narrative with intentional sequencing, juxtaposition, and a clear point of view, demonstrating sophisticated understanding of how the order and relationship between images creates meaning. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key things to take away from today. Documentary photography is about truth-telling with intention. Every technical and compositional choice must serve your narrative. Know your key practitioners deeply, Cartier-Bresson, Lange, Parr, and use them to inform, not imitate, your own work. Show your process. Contact sheets, test prints, annotations, these are your AO2 marks. Control your camera settings intentionally and annotate every decision. And curate your final series as a story, not just a collection of good photographs. You've got this. The skills you're building in documentary photography, observation, critical thinking, technical precision, and storytelling are some of the most transferable skills you'll ever develop. Keep shooting, keep annotating, and keep asking yourself, what story am I trying to tell? And is every choice I'm making serving that story? Thanks for listening. Good luck with your portfolio, and I'll see you in the next episode.